I'll do the real star of the show in a moment, but I want to answer this question. Do any of us actively post on Twitter? Every week or so, I will try to actively think of, like, some forgotten or obscure, like, superstar from, like, the late 80s or early 90s, and tweet, man, I really hope that that person's having a good day. Hello, everybody. Everybody, hello. Welcome to A Copy That episode. This is the April 2022 episode, wherein four copywriters, working marketers, people doing the copy stuff, talk about copy over coffee, or in Luke's case, tea, or in my case, usually an energy drink, but in this case, today, water. I am one of your hosts, Sean. This is Luke. That's Alex, and... hold on, I'm mirrored thing. That's Rod. How are you all today, guys?
Good, that was smooth. That was a good intro.
That was really good.
In previous episodes, we started with a sort of recap of what we've learned this month, what we've been doing this month, catching everybody up on our progress. I want to leave that for the latter quarter of the show and instead start with a very simple question that I see very often on the R Copywriting subreddit. How much can a copywriter make or expect to make? What is the actual earnings potential of copywriting? Based on that, how would you guys like to begin that, like, entering, like, finding, like, a chink in the armor of that particular conversation?
How long did it take you from starting to learn about copywriting to the point where you could actually look after yourself? So I'm not talking about a specific amount. I'm just saying when you didn't have to do any other kind of work, you could fully live off of copywriting. How long did that take everyone? So I guess, Sean, I know yours is probably going to be the most complicated to answer because you've had a winding journey to get here. So I don't know how clear your answer is going to be.
Well, I mean, day one, and that's because I started in-house. And that's one of the big advantages of starting in-house. You get a salary, like even while you're learning. I started out in the lowest of the low rungs of the financial publishing industry. And my salary was enough to live on based on what I was earning and what my partner at the time was earning. Like, we were doing fine. I believe my, like, I was a part-time employee and I was still earning around 35K a year plus benefits. At the time, that was enough to live on. Within about a year, my income had more than doubled. And that's just because I hustled and worked really, really hard. And it has since doubled a few more times since then. And so the question of how long did it take me to be able to support myself because I started in-house, zero minutes is the answer.
Copywriting journeys don't all necessarily start with hear about copywriting and I want to make money as a copywriter. Sometimes it is just effectively you fall into it. And it can be very, very helpful to have experience within the inner framework of, say, a company.
Would you recommend that, like, Sean? Like, would you recommend that path?
We talked about that in, I believe, the season finale episode of 2021, which you can find on the youtube.com/copythat channel. But really, like, the myriad paths we all took into making money from copywriting and that I took in my career, I don't know if it's replicable. And so it's hard for me to, like, in good faith be like, yes, everybody in the chat, everybody listening 10,000 years in the future, like, you have to do it my way. My way is the best way. Give me $997 for my course, please, because my way is the best way. And you will learn to do this only by looking at my... No. You're not gonna succeed the way that I succeeded. I can give you an idea, like, a general, like, parameters you could follow. And one of them is, like, yeah, get a job in-house, find your footing, find what you like, use the comfort and the safety of that salary to figure this stuff out. That's a lot less stressful than, like, for example, one of our dear, dear friends, like, getting fired and then, like, getting on freelancing sites and then figuring it the hell out while he's waiting for twins to appear. Like, holy crap. I don't know if I would have been able to succeed in doing that. So kudos, shout out to our friend Warren. For me, like, I had a very comfortable path in and a lot of support along the way.
One of the biggest barriers to starting and being able to make that money, and one of the things that kind of makes the how long did it take conversation a little bit nebulous, is, like, for a lot of people, when you're starting copywriting, you're not actually starting copywriting. You are starting to figure out how to do copywriting in the context of a life in which you are depending upon something else for to like stay above water. And so if you have a job and you are studying copy for an hour a night, 2 hours a night on the weekends or whatever, I wouldn't really say that you're quote unquote starting. If you're not kind of putting everything into it, it is going to take a lot longer. When I started copy, I sort of jumped into an agency at the very beginning. And so there was a degree of stability. And at the same time, I was studying and learning skills so that I could then start freelancing. And so I think it only took three or so months before I got my first, like on my own gig. And then from there, I have some other skills and stuff too. And so I was able to kind of like parlay those into some kind of alternative sort of copywriting gigs within maybe 4 or 5 months total that let me kind of just make money doing just copy.
I mean, I originally started sort of like from an entrepreneurship angle, and copywriting was sort of this marketing thing that I thought I would have to learn as like a tech founder. But really, when I really started copywriting, it took me about a month to, you know, just live off of copywriting. And mainly it was just because I didn't really have any other choice, you know? Like, I had some money on my bank account and I didn't have work. I didn't really have a lot of cash flow. So it was just like, all right, you know, I've got 3 months to make this work. So I'm just gonna do everything I can and make sure that I can live off of this. And I guess it worked out.
I guess for me, and this is where maybe because we have our slight differences from each other. And I think maybe where I have my difference is I wasn't doing anything before copywriting. I didn't have any kind of previous skills that even really helped me in copywriting as such. I'd always been kind of interested in advertising and marketing to a degree, but I'd never heard of copywriting. And I think from the day I first heard about it, it realistically took me, I would say, a year and a half before I got to a point where I was earning enough to just live by just doing copywriting. For everyone in the chat, like, it is 100% possible to get to a point where just from copywriting you earn a living. And personally, I do think it's possible within like 2 months. Once you get to this stage, and I have of course the benefit of looking back on it and knowing where I went wrong and stuff like that, but I do genuinely think that once you strip away all the stuff that you have to stumble through, retrospectively looking back at it, you kind of realize, if I would have just dove in to some of this stuff quicker, I would have made money a lot quicker. I took more of a cautious approach. So I had a full-time job. I was working 40 hours a week in a full-time job in government, and nothing to do with copywriting, nothing to do with marketing. So my stuff was completely on the side. In evenings, weekends, lunch breaks, any time I had, it was always reading books, looking at stuff, trying to, you know, find bits of courses on YouTube, setting up the Copywriting Collective Discord server, finding people like Sean and Jonathan and, you know, our friends who have helped me so much. There was a lot of, I guess, dilly-dallying on my part and kind of trying to get that support network in place. But looking back, I realized I didn't need that to succeed, because all the points of success that I had was just action. It was just me going, oh, right, let's just dive into this new project. Let's just contact this person. For me, realistically, it was 18 months. But if I was looking back and I could talk to myself that whole way through again, I'd say I probably could have got to a point where I was earning full-time income from copywriting within about two, three months.
The base level of skills one needs to get into copywriting, like freelance copywriting, specifically any sort of like sales or marketing copy, as opposed to like, for example, how should I say, like branding for Procter and Gamble. Like, that's a different like bag of burritos that we should probably talk about or at least touch on. But it, in terms of like getting good enough to be able to sell yourself as a freelancer, that base level of skill, if you are a fluent English speaker who has a modicum of an ability to write, who has the ability to like sell themselves with words, it takes about 2 to 3 months of like really dedicated hard work.
Monetary value, how much can you earn? So we've spoken about, you know, in deliberately vague terms up to this point, of like just how much it took for us to support ourselves, but what does that actually mean money wise And how much can the average beginner, say someone like me who started out and didn't know anything and was trying to look for courses, how much can someone realistically expect to earn? And I have a very annoying answer and then a realistic answer. I want to start with the annoying answer on purpose and then see what you guys think of it. It really depends, and there really is no limit, which is not helpful to anyone, but there is a huge degree of reality in it, because, you know, I've known people who have been stuck in, say, the content writing game, working for content mill websites, who are earning, you know, what, like, half a cent a word, just something just, you know, ridiculous. And they've been doing that for, you know, 6 months. And then I've known people who it's their first 2 weeks and they've just landed a $3,000 retainer.
You know, most people listening now, they probably saw a Dan Lok sales letter at some point or something similar, you know, how to become a six-figure sales copywriter, how to write with your, you know, toes in the sand of a Panamanian beach, which I've actually done. There are, most of the people here think, okay, write a few emails, work 30 minutes a day, earn six figures or seven figures, depending upon the sales letter that you've seen. And now they've left that sales copy and now they're watching this. Me babble, the bald, shiny man babble right now about how much money one can make. And the cool thing about copywriting and marketing in general is that the floor is really low, but the ceiling's really high. You know, it's not like other professions or other industries where, like, the floor is a little bit higher, and so, like, there's more safety and stability there when you get started, but the ceiling is way smaller or way tighter. And that is, I think, one of the things where, like, skilling, like, constant skilling up is so important. And I was actually talking with, you know, shout out again, Warren. We were talking in person. And really, like, from that floor, which is, yeah, you know, writing content for a content mill, earning a few cents per word, and just churning out articles every single day. Yeah, it's really easy to get into that, but it's also miserable. You will burn yourself out, but you'll write a lot, and you'll be able to say that you're a paid writer, so that's a thing. But when it comes to the ceiling, like, what I was discussing with Warren is that there's really two ways to get higher and higher and higher. One of them is the hard way, which is via depth. Like, go so in depth with a particular niche or in a particular field or in a particular subset of a niche that you become either so good or such an expert at that thing that just by dint of being a rarity, you can command a high dollar value. There are not that many financial copywriters, and there are even fewer good ones. And so the few financial copywriters who can work in such a regulated, tough, competitive industry, like the best ones make upwards of like $2 million or more per quarter in royalty checks. That's not like a salesy sales letter, this is possible for you kind of thing. You have to be the best of the best to get there.
Yeah.
And like, if you think that you are just going to like write a few, you know, words, read a few books, like 6 months from now, you're going to be one of those people. You're not. I'm sorry. Tough titty. The range there, that top 10% of earners there, it's still very high. I'm among them, and that's pretty cool. Rather than depth, the easier way is to go breadth. You know, we've talked on the show about like anti-niching down. And the reason why is because it's just so much easier and takes so much less time to like get good at enough different kinds of copy and then start like hiring people to like work with you or work for you or start outsourcing some of the more mundane tasks to people who charge less than you do. And then you effectively become your own little agency or consultancy. And that's another way to earn extremely high and large amounts of income just by sheer quantity, like just being able to put out a ton of stuff and make money from it. And you can do that because, well, you've effectively done a capitalism. You've outsourced, you have created a division of labor. So there you go.
There's a third thing there. And so obviously you can go deep, you can go wide. And then I think there's like a Z-axis where probably one of the best ways to make money with copywriting is to sell your copywriting skills to people who like don't interact with the copywriting world. And so like one skill set you could develop is to like figure out how to talk to people about copy without talking about copy. One thing that I found a lot of success doing is like kind of selling applied copywriting to political people who are interested in doing things with campaigns, who have people who will work with them on messaging, but don't know how to turn that messaging into like actual copy or pamphlets in a way that speaks to real people. And one of the things I've had to do in those spaces is not talk about conversion rates, not talk about, you know, all of like different KPIs that you should think about as copywriters, and instead talk about, well, you know, this is the way that people receive your messaging. Therefore, you should think about it this way. And when you want to say really niche policy things that only you care about, actually reframe it in terms of like the effect that you know, having working sidewalks is going to have for poor people in our community and how that's going to like increase accessibility and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, turning those features that they're always focusing on into benefits. And so if you're someone who is just starting out and you're working on the getting wide thing, I think one thing that you can immediately do to get a little bit more leverage in your conversations is start thinking about how you can explain what you already know to people who may not consider it, who could find utility from it.
Someone in the chat just said, you know, so generalist is better than specialist. And I don't think one is intrinsically better than the other. And I don't think you should think of it as like, oh, I only have one option and I need to pick a route. Like if you just start doing things, if you just start taking action, then it doesn't really matter what you label it as, it will just fall in place for you. Expanding on Rod's point, most business people do not care about copywriting and they don't care about how it works, which is exactly what Rob was saying. And it's very easy that when all you've been studying is copy and you've been reading loads on it and you've been in all these forums and watching shows like this, you can get caught up in thinking that everyone else must know as much as you do about copywriting and that you need to talk about like all those specific elements of copy. But really, most businesses, and this is from my experience, most businesses do not care about what stage of awareness their audience is in. They don't care if you're saying like, oh yeah, this is how we're gonna like, you know, get this across to your audience. They don't care like about the specifics. They just want you to make their money and do as much as possible without paying you like loads. Like that's what they want. They want someone to do as much as possible for as little money as possible. Realistically, and this is kind of circling around to my realistic answer, is if you can show a business that you will cover as much as they need covered, you can just say to them, yep, like, don't worry about this, I will sort all your marketing out for you. They will be very happy to pay you a large sum of money because then that's squared away for them. And that's why we sometimes move into the area of saying like generalist, you know, is better than specialist, because it's just realistically how most businesses work. They don't want to hire an email copywriter and a landing page copywriter and an ad copywriter and then a media buyer as well and then a strategist. Like they don't want to do that. They just want someone who can generally sort their marketing out because it's shit.
I would almost even say that like the sort of, you know, generalist versus specialist debate is a little bit redundant. You know, if you can sort of position yourself as almost like a business person yourself, almost like an entrepreneur in another organization, and then if you can sort of stay in touch with your own specialization, you know, of copywriting, you know, then you can really, really, really start to earn a lot of money, because you sort of take a step back again and you become like a broad generalist in the sense of business. So like business strategy, marketing strategy, you know, how to manage teams, how to, you know, like everything that you basically need in a business on the marketing side. And then if you still have that like deep specialty, you know, copy, and that specialty doesn't have to be a specialty of a specialty, right? So it doesn't have to be financial copy. But like if you can do the business and if you can also do the copywriting, so if you also can, you know, do quality assessment on emails, on VSLs, on websites, on, you know, any type of outbound collateral that you give to your salespeople, then you instantly become extremely valuable to the organization that you're working for.
How I started making money, the real difference between when I went kind of part-time with copy and I was earning, say, I don't know, maybe like $500 a month or something like that, which, you know, at the time felt amazing. But the change that I made to go from that to then earning, you know, $5,000 plus a month was basically what Luke is saying there, that I stopped looking specifically for pre-existing job roles where I was just waiting for people to put up like, oh, we need a landing page written. And instead, I was getting into conversations with your businesses and I was saying, I think you can make a lot more money just by changing the copy of your website. And I'm happy to do all of it for you, because also linked into that, we're going to set up a new email sequence for you. And I'm going to work on your Google ads because I know that there's loads of, you know, basically just money on the table there. That was when I really started to make it as a copywriter and just saying to them, this is going to make you more money and I will handle it.
So this would be for cold outreach, right? And I would say the answer is yes. Alex, I think among the four of us is probably the most experienced and most successful vis-a-vis cold outreach, because that was a large part of like how you got in, what you started doing, and like how you landed your biggest clients, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. What I put it down to is cold outreach and networking. I would say networking more so than cold outreach, in a way that I kind of see networking as the umbrella term, if you like, and then cold outreach a thing within it, which I know sounds a bit weird, but I prefer to network before I cold outreach. What I tended to do was to strike up rapport with people before pitching them, and specifically going to places where they were already hanging out, where they were already appearing on webinars or interviews or whatever, asking them questions, and then getting into a normal conversation and then kind of showing my value up from there. That method for me was it was life-changing, basically, because it allowed me to become a full-time copywriter. And from that, then I was getting referred to CEOs and marketing directors and agencies, and them saying like, oh yeah, we know a guy who can do this stuff. The prerequisite is you do have to know at least that base level of knowledge about copywriting. And for me, it certainly helped knowing a bit about marketing strategy as well. Cold outreach networking, in my opinion, or at least for me, is the best way to actually get clients and start making real money.
There's a question in the chat from KB, one of our patrons who has been a really cool and really active on the Discord. By patron, I mean he's a patron of patreon.com/thecopythatshow, which is by far the best paid way to support the channel and get a ton of the bonus content that we make. We only record the show once a month, but we put out 8 videos a month. Everybody listening here is getting 1/8 of the value that they could be getting if they were subscribed to the youtube.com/copythat channel and were a member of the patreon.com/thecopythatshow. The best Patreon in existence of all time ever that features 4 working copywriters that have a morning show. But just to answer that question, we have in the last episode of Copy That, we discussed failures and overcoming failures and shortcomings and like those moments where you completely botch something. I guarantee that nobody in chat and nobody here is going to mess up as bad or as expensively as I have in the past. And so what I'm telling you right now is that it's that fear of failure is not something that you should really be worried about. It's like a Band-Aid getting ripped off. You just, you're going to fail. Failure happens, unavoidable. Yeah. And you just have to pick yourself up, kind of dust you off. And
I think also just because I think what you are also getting into there, you know, when you're setting that expectation for a business, I never go to a company and say like, oh, I promise I'm going to make you X amount. Because one, it's disingenuous. And 2, I think it's off-putting anyway. The way I approach it is like, yes, I do say, I think you've got a lot of money tied up in ads that you're not using properly, or your email list is basically gold waiting to be struck. Because I know those things, and because I've done enough research and I've read enough to kind of go like, yeah, I do actually recognize that that's wasted potential there. Either if I've networked with them already and I've built some rapport, they're generally quite happy to just trust me and pay me a fee and say, right, yeah, well, here you go, start, because you've already shown us value. Or especially in the early days I used to do this, I would say, look, I think I can help make you money here. I won't take a fee up front, just pay me after it works. I know some people absolutely hate that and they say that that's exploitation and you should never work without getting paid, which I think is a fair view. You know, if that's your view, fair enough. For me, I was more interested in making money long term, and it's paid off. I would never go in and say like, oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna make you money. I would always set those expectations, say, look, there's no guarantee. There's never a guarantee in marketing. It's always an investment. But from my experience and from what I know and from what I've seen other businesses, I think I can make you more money here because of, and then whatever your reasons are.
It's just sort of like popping open the hood of the company that you're serving and sort of examining what they're doing and seeing if you can find problems that you can probably solve. Like, you can tell, like, hey, I know this about copywriting. I know that this looks a little bit strange. And then you just ask, you know, the owner of that company, like, hey, like, how come you're doing this? You know, have you ever thought about doing it this way? And then they might be like, oh, that actually makes sense. How about you try that? Here's a couple hundred dollars. Go ahead. And like, just taking that sort of like an examining approach rather than like a promising approach makes it easier for yourself to also know, okay, I can do this, or I'm just promising something that is way, you know, above my head, and then actually, you know, fulfill as well.
What kind of dollar amounts are we talking for someone who, let's say you are in month three of copywriting, you've started getting some jobs. How much money should that person be trying to make?
Say between month zero and month three, I think you can probably earn between 500 and like 3,000 a month. If you go above that, like, you're extremely good.
Yeah, it becomes less realistic the higher your expectations are, which obviously tells us two things. One, the first step to failure is trying. And two, if you have low expectations, you'll never be disappointed. And that's a Spider-Man quote.
Yeah, and I mean, on the kind of monetary amount, I think that, and I'm let's not go into a tangent here, but this is semi-related. I personally think that, and this is me looking back on how I kind of my journey, I personally think you should start with what you need to earn. Like, what do you actually need to earn to live, right? Just figure that out. Actually, total up. What is your rent? And I mean everything. I don't mean like including as a supplement to your full-time job, because you want to be doing copywriting full-time. So start thinking that way. How much is your rent? How much are your monthly expenses? Are there any other costs? Or just generally, is there a goal that is a modest one to begin with? Don't go into, I think it's a big mistake to go into it thinking, I want to earn $10,000 a month right now, and I'm going to work back from that. I personally think that's a mistake, because then, as Luke was saying, I think you go beyond the bounds of reality as a beginner. Mm. But I think just work out what the minimum is that you could get by living on. And it's okay to make it a slightly comfortable amount, you know, have a few hundred dollars a month there in spending money. Just work that out and then work backwards. So if you have, say, 40 hours a week at your disposal that you can use to begin with, and you do have, if you're working 40 hours a week right now in a job, you do have an extra 40 hours a week at your disposal. I promise you, you just need to make that commitment to save that, to get that time in your evenings and your weekends. But if you have 40 hours a week, how much do you need to be earning roughly to get to that figure, right? And that's how I think you should set your rate. So I think once you have that figure in mind, then whenever you come to pitch for a project, you can work out, right, this is going to be my only project this month, therefore it needs to take up this whole figure. Or I am also planning to take on another project, or maybe three other projects this month, so I only need to earn a quarter of it through this project. I think that is the best way, the optimal way to figure out how much you should charge, because then you don't get caught in thinking about what other people are charging, because I think that's a harmful mindset to have. Because honestly, there are so many businesses, and they all have different budgets and different money that they're willing to spend. It depends on the person who controls the budget. So don't think that there's this universal figure that if someone says, oh yeah, don't expect to make more than $1,000 a month, or yeah, you can make $1,750 a month doing this exact method, that is all bullshit. There is no one figure. Just work out what you need, reverse engineer it, and then use that to pitch to projects. That's my belief, and that's what I took me a while to figure that out, but that's what I started doing.
So Alex, I'm seeing in the chat that there's some pushback against this 40 extra hours a week concept, and specifically the quote, 40 extra hours a week is realistic only if you don't have other hobbies and responsibilities though. To which I would say, one, if you are dedicated, like, and I mean truly dedicated to getting good and making money from this, fuck your hobbies. Like, shut up. Jesus Christ. But seriously, there's a modicum of, if you are truly dedicated to the cultivation of a skill, you're going to devote every ounce of, in every moment of your energy to learning this thing. I had to go through that. And, you know, I've spoken previously on this channel about, like, just how hard the road, the on-ramp was for me to skill up in this business, and what it cost me personally. And there's, I think, an unexpected personal cost that often comes with learning copywriting. I have previously mentioned on this show, and Noah has the footage, of how one should calculate the value of one of their hours. Take the amount of money you want to make in a year. Let's say it is $100,000 in a year. You wanna crack $100,000. To crack $100,000, you need to know what the value of one of your hours is. So you do 100,000 divided by 2080, which is a 40-hour work week. That means that your value, the value of one of your hours, is $48. That's the formula. The amount of money that you want to make in a year divided by 2080. And if you see a job that's going to pay you less than what your hours are worth, don't take the job. It's that simple. So say you need $3,000 a month to live, like basically just to live. Well, then you take the number of hours a month. It's between 150 and 200 if you're working that full 40 hours. Obviously less if you want to dedicate less to that, which you shouldn't. And then you just divide one into the other. So 3,000 by, for example, if you're going to work 200 hours this month, what's 3,000 divided by 200? 5, 10, 15. So that's $15 an hour. That's your hourly rate now. Don't accept any work or any jobs that will pay you less than that.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. It's a simple division problem.
I had a full-time job when I started this and decided I wanted to get into copywriting. And maybe I'm not so proud to admit this, but I cut corners at that full-time job to dedicate to copywriting, because once I'd made that decision, I didn't give a shit. So maybe I was scooping up a few hours there. Although I do think you should be all in. If you are working a full-time job, remember that I think there needs to be somewhat of a transitional period. If you're a student right now and you are in a like relatively comfortable bubble where, you know, yeah, you may be getting debts, which isn't nice, but you know, you don't need to be earning a ton right now, then you're in a really good position to learn about copywriting and to make that like dive. But if you are working a full-time job, and this is another reason it took me 18 months, is like there needed to be that transitional period where it wasn't just like one day I started making thousands of dollars a month. It was, I kind of slowly built up, and there was a bit of a jump at some point, but you know, it was slowly building up. It was like $100, then 500, 1,000, two, blah, blah, blah. I think there needs to be that place where you actually stop and go, right, okay, if I make this leap now, is this a viable career? Took me 18 months to get to that point where I was like, okay, I'm actually going to quit my job now. And I did.
Yes, you can make a lot of money as a copywriter or doing anything, really. But, and this is true of all things, every great success story is also a story of neglect.
Anything that like matters to you or that you sort of decide that you want to like go after, like you need to accept that you're going to get uncomfortable. And then you can either, you know, pity yourself for that, or you can just decide, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to cope. I'm going to do what I can, and you know, I'm going to have a crack at it. I've been able to see a lot of success because I made that decision.
How much money you make is not valued as a human being. And so you can absolutely become a copywriter who makes $500,000 a year, but if making more than, you know, $100,000 a year doesn't change your quality of life that much, then yeah, you're going to be sacrificing a whole bunch of things that ultimately make you unhappy. And that's bad. In that case, you should not be making $500,000 a year. You should dial that back to $100,000 a year and do the things that are really important to you. There is no shame in making less money so that you are a happier person. As long as you continue to stay alive, as long as you are able to, you know, provide for yourself and the people you need to provide for, it is fine to get to that amount and then not push further. You don't have to keep hustling if that hustling is providing diminishing returns on your happiness. Keep, you know, feeding your kids. Like,
oh, that's great advice.
Would you say it's just about balance? Like, I know how like cheesy that is, but like ultimately it really comes down to just living, you know, balanced life.
This, copy that, it's a fun hobby. It's a fun side business for me. It's never going to make me as much money as like my main line of work, but it's delightful and it has become part of the larger harmony of the work that I do and what I enjoy doing.
Try to like broadcast your successes. So if you've been able to get a lot of open rates, or you've been getting a lot of responses from your cold outreach or whatever, then just tell your superior, hey, look, this is what happened. Like, this is so cool. And that sort of like accelerates their image of you and also their need to be like, okay, well, I'm going to pay you more because you've been doing such a great job. If you just assume that your work speaks for itself when it doesn't, you kind of risk losing, you know, that like goodwill and that potential promotion.
There was a question about fears as well.
What were our fears when we, I guess we can answer that one. I think that'd be nice. So what fears did we encounter when we started our careers and how do we push through them?
Big sea creatures.
Absolutely none, because I have a dangerous lack of self-regard.
Wow, very confident.
Scared of everything. Man, I was scared of like not bringing from not bringing results to getting the time zone that my client was on wrong. Talking to someone on the phone, I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. Just action is the solution to all of that. Because once you've spoken to a bunch of people on the phone, or you've got used to just shooting off emails quickly just to set up a meeting, you suddenly realize that for people who do that a lot, it's not a big deal. So the person that is receiving your email or getting your call, they won't care as long as you're just natural with it. So yeah, those are my fears. I guess the pressure of having to, one, perform and then socially interacting with someone who I was trying to get the money from, right? That was scary to me. It was like, well, can I justify it? And that's just classic imposter syndrome.
I used to have a lot of those hangups. What I found was that confidence really followed competence. Where it's like, once I saw what I was able to do and like had a really robust understanding of like the fact that copy is just any given Sunday and like you can be the best in the world and still have a bomb. Like that just happens. Just knowing all that, you're really able to sort of press on and retain a lot of confidence.
My fear was like, I've never really considered myself that great at languages. I speak two languages, just so you guys know. I've never been really good in either of them. And like, that made me feel very insecure, I guess. And like, am I able to deliver? Am I able to like write something that actually gets results? And I mean, it's the same for me. I just took more action. I just studied more, I prepared more. And I just tried to like work with what I'm deficient at and get better at it so it doesn't become a handicap, right? So like try to work it up. You don't have to be great at what you're weak at. You can just improve it until it sort of like fits into all your other competencies. And then like you just keep going and keep going. And at some point you're gonna get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm actually pretty good at what I do now. Take action when you're fearful, because if you don't, it's just gonna, you know, keep you stuck and it's just gonna paralyze you.
Being paid in money is only one way to get paid. And one way to level up your career really quickly is to trade being compensated with money for being compensated in experiences. And so like if you want to become a CMO one day, freelancing and making all the money is probably not the best way to do that. Getting into an organization at whatever level, getting institutional knowledge, even if it means you're being paid less, then gives you insight into the way that things function, what people inside of organizations actually care about, the kinds of KPIs you need to be hitting in order to demonstrate your competence, and the sort of like, credentials that those people are gonna be looking for in order to get into that position. And that goes for whatever you're doing, not just fancy titles like CMOs. If you are starting out as a copywriter right now and think that eventually one day you might want to be writing TV ads, for example, freelancing is like a good way to start, but eventually you need to be looking at the kinds of jobs that people are going to want you to have done in order to think that you are, you know, competent consistently. Because at that point, it's not just, can you write a TV ad? It's, do you have a track record that we trust? And that those sorts of gigs are going to come from working in-house, where you probably will not be compensated maybe at the same dollar amount as a freelancer.
There's always a trade-off. And you can certainly work a job with more money, but at greater cost to you personally. My big question was, you know, since this is the let's talk about money and be real about it episode, what are royalties? How do we get them? What justifies them? And like, how do you even begin to ask for them? If the piece of copy that you write is very close to the touch point of the sale, and it's very easy for me to see this person wrote this thing and it led to this amount of money in my pocket, yes, of course, they deserve a cut of that. On the front end, that is the acquisition side, those kinds of products typically are not profitable. The goal is different. The goal is to get a paid customer in. So that's typically compensated one of two ways. One of them is by the number of new like buyers that you have. And if you have a it's called NTF or new to file buyer, you will typically get compensated a flat rate for that. You know, for a junior, that's typically $1. For a senior, that can be $3 or $4. If you're a copy chief, that can be, you know, $5. I've seen as high as $7. Typically not more than that. And of course, it depends on the price of the product. In terms of backend, that's often very strictly done on a percentage basis. And people have been, in my industry, the financial publishing industry, have been doing that, trying different things. But the most common thing that you're going to see is just a simple percentage of net sales. That is the number of people who bought minus the number of people who refunded. And then you get a like 1 to 4% cut of that. The more new you are, the lower the percent you can expect. That is how royalties work. Sometimes if you're on a media buyer, because you are close to the point of the sale, the way that works is, like, say you're managing like Google ads or say you're managing Facebook ads. If you're really, really good and really experienced, you can ask for a percentage of ad spend. That is, say, you know, a company is going to spend $10,000 a month budgeted to driving traffic to their front end offers or their lead gen offers or what have you. As a experienced media buyer, you might be able to command either a low retainer or a low salary and a percentage of that ad spend, typically in the 3 to 5% range. So, you know, what's 5% of $10,000? That's an additional $500 in your pocket every single month. There you go. So that's how that typically works.
Again, I work primarily in e-commerce, like that's where the bulk of my experience is. And especially with royalties, I would say among copywriters in e-commerce, royalties are less expected in e-commerce. If you're working with a serial e-commerce entrepreneur or a serial e-commerce business who work with a lot of copywriters, they won't be used to giving copywriters specifically royalties. I would suggest positioning yourself as also a strategist, because it's far easier to actually lay out the strategy for an e-com business and then justify, well, I want 2% here of the net sales or whatever, instead of, hey, I wrote this page, can you give me it? And that's purely because e-commerce generally is viewed as less of a copy heavy industry, and more people will say, well, it's the product that's selling itself, which is a fallacy and isn't true, but that doesn't change the perception in the minds of the business owner. Also, something else to consider with e-commerce is the margins. In the financial world specifically, I'd imagine there is that standard, there is that very set range. In e-commerce, I would say for most products, for copywriters, again, they're either non-existent or they're very small. But also in e-commerce, you have to consider like luxury goods. So things like high-end bikes, the margins are quite fat on. And for those, if you're involved in that sale, commissions, as they're kind of more, they're usually more referred to in e-com, can be as high as like 15-20%. And then you also start to get into the world of affiliate marketing, which I know Luke has a bunch of experience in, where again, like commissions go up to, you know, 50-80%, you know, crazy, crazy numbers.
Maybe we can make a little bit of an overview that just makes it a little bit easier to understand all these royalty figures and like what to expect. But yeah, in terms of how much you can make by affiliate marketing, I mean, like, I think affiliate marketing is a very close step to actual entrepreneurship. You're just kind of outsourcing the product development and like the product management to someone else. So like you're kind of delegating that to the company that you're an affiliate of. You can make a lot of money being an affiliate marketer simply because, you know, affiliate product developers literally make their products with affiliates in mind. So like they'll make the product, they'll give you all the information that you need. And they're like, well, we're not going to spend any time and any money on trying to market this ourselves. We're effectively giving anyone that can sort of market this for us a 50% cut of, you know, what we're doing. I must warn that it's hard to get into because it's a lot of different moving parts. But once you do have the competency, yeah, you can make a lot of money as an affiliate simply because you're selling something that already exists. So you don't have to do the market research. You don't have to do the product development. You don't have to spend so much time either making an info product or making a physical product. All you have to do is understand the market and understand if you can sell to that market. And then just try and, you know, try to have a go at it. I think it's a great transition for an intermediate copywriter or marketer. So once you feel like, okay, I have been consistently making money for my clients, now I want to, you know, grab a piece of that pie, and you can do that by actually becoming an affiliate.
Okay, very quick, rapid fire. Let's go through what should the expectations be? Beginner, intermediate, advanced. Alex, what's your answer?
Let's assume that you are a brand new copywriter who's had no clients before. You're just starting, you've just heard about copywriting yesterday, and it's the first thing you're watching about copywriting. Realistically, I think within the next 3 months, there is no reason that you can't earn up to $3,000-$4,000 a month. There's no reason you can't do that if you have good teachers, which, you know, you're watching this, so let's be honest, you don't. I genuinely believe that, and that's from my experience, that's from people I have seen. There's no reason you can't, and the main way you can do that is through action. It's through, first of all, having that core competency, so you understand what you're actually what you're talking about to a degree, and then networking and cold pitching companies and doing as much for them as you can. Intermediate, in that range, once you start, let's say, like Luke said, that you can start negotiating, say, royalties or commissions or whatever, that's when, if you're good at what you do and you've got the right relationships and the right companies, then you can start to really consider yourself earning up to $6,000-$8,000 a month, just from my experience. And that is working 40 hours at least. And then kind of high earning, where you are that kind of rather ridiculous but revered title of like six figures, 2.5 years, 3 years, something like that.
As a beginner, you are probably in a good place if you are making between $500 and $2,000 a month. $500 is obviously not very much, but I think that if you're capable of making $500, you're capable of making $2,000. And so getting from $500 to $2,000 is more of a, are you putting yourself out there as much as you should be? Are you, you're figuring out prospects and stuff like that? I think if you are within a couple months of starting out and you're actually making money, like a almost rent, depending on where you are, then like you're in a good spot and you've set yourself up well. For intermediate copywriters, you should probably be able to pay all your bills and then some. And so between $3,000 and $5,000 a month. And I would say that that is probably a year or so of experience. And then beyond that are the super senior pro copywriters, is basically anything above that. I personally say that's like, if you're making 70, 80K or more, you're probably in the top 1% of copywriters.
I have a little bit of a weird skewed vision or view on how much money you make. I very much agree with Rod, where I would say that like a beginner, in like the like from month zero to month three, can probably get to the point of like 500 to 3,000. But I would also agree that it's probably between 500 and 2,000 for most people. Then I think that there's a really big gap between the beginner copywriter and the intermediate copywriter, simply because to become an intermediate copywriter, I think you need to be consistently making money for any client that you work with. And to get to that point is hard. So that's why I think also a lot of people get stuck in like this in this beginner phase and find it very hard to push through and become like intermediate consistent copywriters that can make money for their clients. And that's why I would say that the intermediate copywriter earns anywhere between 7 and 12, 13,000 a month. After that, you would get to a very advanced stage. So like for me, and I have a high bar that I set and a high standard that I set. The advanced copywriter is really when you get to the people who really, really know what they're doing. And that's when you're getting to the point where you're not really talking about monthly salary anymore, but when you start to talk about annual salaries or annual revenue. And that's where I think you're in the 300 to about a million range. And anything beyond that is going to be maybe another category. And that's going to be the master, Mark Ford, you know, like all these big, big people. And they really, really make, I mean, sky's the limit, basically.
I think that it's perfectly reasonable after 2 to 3 months of dedicated study and effort to get on Upwork or to get on a freelancing site or to do cold outreach, and certainly either via spec work or via the jobs that you do, earn that $10 to $15 an hour. And if you can work a full-time schedule, like not part-time on the side of like training for a marathon or raising kids, like 40 hours a week, 4 weeks in a month, that's 160. So if you work between 150 to 200 hours a month, and you're earning $15 an hour, you're going to be earning more than $3,000 in a month. On the salary side, the in-house side, it's different. And you're going to have like a much higher floor. Like for example, $3,000 a month times 12 is about $36,000 a year. That was where I started. I didn't have to put in any of the work to hustle clients. I didn't have to be on freelancer sites. I didn't have to do cold outreach. But I have my tax returns up. And I have my adjusted gross income for every year from when I started from when I quit teaching and started copywriting to now, basically. In 2021, I earned an adjusted gross income of $477,712. It's not a flex. That's what I worked for. And the large bulk of that about, I would say 80% of that was just writing. Just writing reports, writing sales copy, getting royalties, writing stuff. That's how much I made. I broke 300K in 2019. And if you go back to 2016, when I started, I was making around 70 to 80K. That was my trajectory. And like I said at the beginning of the show, if you're competent in English, if you have a modest ability to write and write well about topics, there's no logical reason why you can't earn that $2,000 to $3,000 a month. It takes time to work up to that, though. And so, you know, by then, you would be making what I made when I started, which was $36,000 a year. And once you establish that baseline, sky's the limit.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everyone in between and everywhere in the universe, thank you for joining us for the Copy That Show. This has been Sean and Alex and Luke and me, Rod. You know what time of the show it is. It's the time of the show where we tell you everything that is out there that is available for when you are finding yourself about 1 hour from now as you eat your lunch or your dinner and you find yourself still not satisfied, because despite the fact that your stomach is now full, you have not been satiated because you are lacking content on copywriting. Fortunately for you, we have plenty of content for you. If you head to youtube.com/copythat, you can find plenty of content from us. This month, we've had interviews with Mark Ford, the legend himself, but also Kyle Milligan on why having a good process is better than actually being good at words, and the 52-figure copywriting book club, the premiere video of that, which you can only get access to the rest of that if you head on over to patreon.com/thecopythatshow, which will then unlock all the other content that we put out every single week and give you access to our private Discord server, where we will just talk to you about your copy, where we will answer all of your woes about copywriting, where we will make jokes with you and share copy that we are working on or reading or using as references in our own work, and just like more copywriting goodness to satiate you when that last donut once again fails to hit the spot. Once again, that is youtube.com/copythat and patreon.com/thecopythatshow for when you are missing us. We look forward to seeing you next month.
I hope you all go out, you learn a lot, you do a lot, you overcome any fears or anxieties you have, and that you go secure that bag, that you make a ton of money. And in general, I hope you do something this week that brings you fulfillment, beyond monetary fulfillment. And that could be learning something, that could be, you know, actually doing a hobby. No matter what your goal is, I hope whatever you're doing gets you closer to it.